This podcast is sponsored by Runway, air traffic control for your mobile releases. Put your releases on autopilot. Runway will shepherd your release from kickoff to submission to release with no manual intervention. A single source of truth for your releases. Runway integrates with your favorite tools for a bird's eye view over release progress and blockers. Make your releases collaborative. Get a rich, contextualized release runbook that makes capturing responsibilities and tracking tasks crystal clear. Get more control on your releases on App Store and Play Store. Point your browser to runway.team. Thank you for sponsoring my podcast. I'm also revamping my newsletter. Check it out, appforce1.net to sign up. You can also find a sign-up link on my Twitter profile. Hi, and welcome to the 26th episode of my podcast. My name is Jeroen Leenaerts and I've been developing software for over 18 years, developing iOS apps for over 9 years, and I'm running a Dutch CoCatch for close to 8 years. If you are an iOS app developer, you should listen to my podcast because it will keep you updated on interesting articles and events you might not have heard about otherwise. In this episode, I'm going to talk about JavaScript Core and Swift, how to manage photo library permission in iOS, blur effect in Swift UI, what's the difference between a singleton and a shared instance in Swift, and Donnie's Monday morning tweet. So let's get started. On Wednesday, CocoaHeads will have their next monthly meetup. Please have a look at their website and sign up if you want to join. On Thursday, Donnie will host the Core Data Workshop that he and I have been working on for the last couple of months. Donnie shared his material with me today, and by the looks of things, it's going to be great. We still have some spaces available, so if you want to join us, please sign up. The remodeling of my home is continuing. They've cut another hole in the roof, but now that's the last one, and all the roof tiling is in. Also, they put in all the window frames and tore out the old ones, so that created a lot of internal space. My wife and I already noticed that due to all the new insulation that's been added, that the climate in our house is way more comfortable than it used to be. A big drawback of the current situation is that my kids have to sleep at my mother-in-law's every evening, so it's a lot of driving back and forth and explaining to my oldest girl what's going on, and she's very much into what's happening all the time, and she just wants to keep updated and see every day what's happened to her little room. So the work continues, and the builders say they will need like 2 more weeks, and then the flooring needs to go in. So hopefully with 3 weeks from now, everything will be finished and this whole ordeal will be over. On Thursday, I will be releasing my recording with Ting Becker. It was recorded back in March, and we also mentioned the remodeling of my house there. And quite jolly, we agreed that by the end of April, things should be finished. I haven't taken out my tent yet. And if you want to know more about what Ting and I have talked about, please have a listen to the episode that will go live on Thursday. I think it's a blast, the recording Ting and I did, and I hope you enjoy it too. So the articles I want to mention this week. Andy Ibanez has a thought-provoking article on JavaScript Core and Swift. It doesn't matter how you feel about JavaScript as a programming language, but there's a simple fact. JavaScript is pretty much everywhere, and its uses have expanded beyond just web scripting. It has become a pretty popular language for a vast array of domains, and for this reason, many languages interoperate with JavaScript, and both Swift and Objective-C are no exception. The API allowing you to use this is JavaScript Core. It will help you to execute basic JavaScript code and export your Swift and Objective-C code to JavaScript. In his article, Andy will actually explain how you can execute JavaScript with JS context, what the JS virtual machine is about, and how you can export Swift to JavaScript. Lee writes about how to manage photo library permission in iOS. When Apple introduced limited photo access in iOS 14, some iOS developers were not so happy about it. It seems like Apple was trying to make developers' life harder. Any apps, old and new, that wanted to support iOS 14 or higher will have to handle this extra permission status. Meanwhile, from the user's perspective, it is a very welcome change. Users can now have more control over the privacy of their photos, limiting the number of photos an app can access. With this new permission status, the way to handle photo library permission in iOS 14 is very different from the previous iOS versions. In his article, Lee would like to show you how to properly handle each and every permission status in your iOS apps, Once you get the full picture of how it works, you will find that it is not as complicated as you think. Gabriel writes about how to do a blur effect in SwiftUI. We have all tried to do blur images of entire views in iOS apps from time to time, and in UIKit that wasn't the most straightforward or customizable thing in the world. However, applying blur effect in SwiftUI based apps is extremely easy, as all it takes is simply to call a view modifier. In this article, Gabriel explains how you can do a blur effect on SwiftUI, a very convenient little thing and trick you should have in your tool chest. Donny writes about the difference between a singleton and a shared instance in Swift. A common pattern in iOS and in Swift is to define an instance of an object that you can access from any place in your app. Common examples are url session.shared, file manager.default, and user defaults.standard. These objects can all be considered shared instances or globally available instances. Donny provides some considerations in regard to globally available instances. Is it a singleton or something else? And what are the implications of having a shared object? And now let's draw one more article from the iOS feed Slot Machine. And the winner is David Olesius, writing your app's privacy policy. When you publish an app on the App Store, Apple requires you to provide a link to the privacy policy. You might be putting off writing this privacy policy. You might not know where to start. In his article, David will teach you everything you need for writing and publishing your privacy policy today. And now let's finish up this episode with Donny Walsh's Monday morning tweet. Filip Nemecek has published his app for the Nintendo Switch to test flight, so maybe this week he will make it into the App Store. Stuart Lynch has just released a new YouTube series where he builds a simple-to-do app in SwiftUI and then refactors it using Combine. 6 videos over the next 2 weeks. Christophe Grinsberg is continuing to improve his product and he's going all in into fundraising. Besides that, he's writing a blog post, Swift Weekly Brief, and of course, the Apple event. Afair is starting the assignment number 3 of the Stanford CS193P program. It's his first attempt to build an app entirely on his own. Tommy is continuing work on his awesome national holiday side project and he's preparing for a new set of job interviews this week. Granit has finally released the app he's been working on at work. Daniel Steinberg has released a bread baking utility on GitHub. Edu is currently in between jobs, so he doesn't have much planned for the week. He's just catching up with all the good contents and book shared over here. Leandro is back to preparing himself for interviews after 4 years. Also, over the weekend, he has bought the Core Data Book and the Combine Book by Donny Walsh. Chris mentions it's spring break, so he's mostly in dad mode this week. But when he has a chance, he'll be creating UI tests for more of his program. Will Taylor says that the public beta of his blood pressure tracking app should be coming out later this week. Jose is resubmitting his Swift Student Challenge submission with further UI and bug fixes before the deadline hits. And Umar is going to write up his experience with the Swift Student Challenge. So all in all, a lot of people are reading, publishing apps, preparing to publish apps, and just enjoying themselves. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have any feedback, please reach out on Twitter at AppForce1. Let me know what you think. I always love getting your feedback. Lead Developer, best practices and tips for lead software developers. PDF, MOBI and EPUB format. AppForce1.net/lead developer. All one word.